Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came with his disciples into the house. Again the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. He is out of his mind. That's what Jesus' cousins were saying, and they came to seize him. He was out of his mind. Why? He left a good carpenter job. He was probably getting a regular salary. He's probably doing very good business. And instead he left it for a life in which he wouldn't even have a place to lay his head. Crazy, isn't it? Instead of being liked by everybody, Jesus, by this point, already had the Pharisees and the Herodians, who are arch enemies, plotting in order to execute him. It would be like you'd have Al-Qaeda in the United States forming an alliance in order to take somebody out. Crazy, isn't it? He was one who had surrounded himself by a whole bunch of nobodies. A few fishermen, tax collector, even a zealot, one of these wackos who was willing to do almost anything to get the Romans out of Palestine. Total nutcase. Didn't have enough time to eat, didn't have a place to sleep. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on. They considered that Jesus was crazy. And yet that crazy man says to each of us, "You, come follow me." Why was he crazy? By their standards, because he wasn't thinking about himself adequately. If you look at the Greek for this expression, "he's out of his mind," it basically means he's out of himself. He's not caring about himself. He doesn't have the focus of his mind on his own needs, on his own concerns. But instead, he's got his mind, he's got his whole being concerned about God, the Father's concerns, concerned about our salvation. And that he's willing even to give his life for those who would shout and actually carry out the words of "crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Totally crazy. But he wasn't about himself. It's about God and others. In today's first reading, talking about Jesus, the high priest, who has entered the Holy of Holies of heaven in order precisely to do an expiatory sacrifice for us, to intercede for us for the salvation of sin, so that we might enter into glory. It says, "who through the eternal Spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit, "offered himself unblemished to God." And it's through that that he cleanses our consciences from dead works to worship the living God. He was constantly offering himself outside of himself for our salvation and for the Father's glory. It's key for us as Catholics to recognize that if we take our faith seriously, there are going to be many who are going to think us crazy. The Lord does ask us, as St. Paul would write in his first letter to the Corinthians, to be fools for Christ's sake. When Jesus tells us, "if you wish to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross every day and come follow me. You must deny yourself." In other words, go outside of yourself, go outside of your mind, go outside of your own needs. You must deny yourself, pick up your cross each day and follow me. That's what it requires to be a Christian. And when we do that, people are going to think we're crazy according to the standards of the world, which are focused on themselves, especially in this narcissistic age. This is what we see in the lives of the saints. St. Francis of Assisi, as soon as he heard the Lord Jesus speaking to him in that crucifix of San Damiano, "St. Francis, rebuild my church, which you can see is falling into ruins." He took that literally. He started to sell his father's fabrics. His father thought that his son had gone pazzo, gone totally crazy. And there was the one showdown scene in the bishop's courtyard where the father had reported his son to the bishop. And the father had said, listen, he was selling all my fabrics, he's got to make that on up, and you've got to stop him, you've got to talk some sense into him. And Francis said, you're right, Father. You're right. I will get you all the money back, and I'm sorry. But while we're speaking about it, these clothes that I'm now wearing are also yours. I thank you for having lent them to me. And he stripped down buck naked in front of everybody else and just said, now I can say truly, Padre nostro, che sei nei cieli, sia sanctificato il tuo nome. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Crazy in the eyes of the world. But he formed around him a band of pazzi, a band of the crazy ones who were willing to give all for the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis came from a noble family in eastern France. He was given the best education possible at the time. By the time of 20, he had already received a doctoral degree in law. His father wanted him to come home. He had already a marriage arranged for him to marry an heiress and for him to become a senator right off the bat. And Francis informed his father that he had taken a promise of chastity and that he wanted to become a priest. His father couldn't stand it. That was way too crazy. When he had plotted out all the ways to worldly success, that Francis was going to turn his back on worldly success. So Francis threw one of the uncles on his mother's side, who was a priest and very well connected, was able to find a way for Francis to become a priest with his dad's permission. He would become, right after his ordination, the vicar general of the Diocese of Geneva, which would be a very high, prominent position that would satisfy at least the father's pride. And Francis was gifted enough to do it right off the bat. But 9 months in, the Bishop of Geneva, who had had to have fled from that Calvinist stronghold and was living in Annecy in the French Alps, said that the entire region of the Chablais, which is about the size of New Hampshire and Vermont, the entire region of the Chablais maybe had only 20 Catholics left because the Calvinists had come down and infiltrated everybody with the Calvinist heresy. And he was asking for a band of priests from his diocese to be able to go and try to re-evangelize that area. He was totally plain in terms of what the problems would be. He said, they may kill you. None of the priests were stepping forward. So finally, young Francis de Sales, 9 months after his ordination, stepped forward and he said, if you think that I can do the job, Excellency, I am happy to be chosen. He was the only one who stepped forward. And there, the entire size of Vermont and New Hampshire, he went to re-evangelize. Many nights, he was fleeing literally from his life. First by people who were trying to ambush him and murder him along the way, and other times just wild animals. One night, there was a pack of wolves that attacked him. And he had to spend the entire night in the French Alps, in the middle of winter, in a tree. It was frigid, it was icy. He almost died simply because of the frostbite. But to everybody in the world, he was totally crazy. Why would a guy so gifted put his life at risk trying to re-evangelize people who were intent on murdering him? Eventually, the soldiers up there from France insisted that he sleep with them in the garrison so that at least he would be protected at night if they couldn't protect him during the day. And he started to write letters that started to get copied. And after a couple decades, many of the people of that region had come back to the true faith, overwhelmed by his holiness, overwhelmed by his meekness, overwhelmed by his craziness, that he would love them so much that he would risk his life coming to save them. He, who was somebody in the world, would do everything for all these people who were nobodies. That's the type of craziness of the gospel. If we really take our faith seriously, there are going to be people who think we've got our priorities whacked. Imagine going outside on a Saturday morning in which there are a couple inches of snow on the ground. You might be hit by a plow. But sorry, we're fools for Christ. You know, how many priests have been called, "Father, what a waste." You could be making millions of dollars a year. But instead, you've given it all up to become a priest? Father, what a waste. Could so many young women who enter the convent, would they be able to be great wives and moms? They'd be able to be something in the middle of the world, and instead they're going to go hide themselves in a convent. No, but they're fools for Christ. Ordinary Catholic parishioners, when they start to take the faith seriously and start showing up to Bible studies, start showing up for daily mass, start going to confession frequently, start praying much more, a lot of the times family members will say, "What's gotten into you?" As if you've caught cancer or something. Fools for Christ. The pattern of the gospel that Jesus calls us to model is for us to be out of our mind, because we've put on His mind, we've put on His heart, and we really live not for ourselves, but for God and for others. Today, may God, whom we're about to receive, that eternal high priest who offered himself unblemished to God for our salvation, give us all this grace of holy craziness. And as we receive this offering, let us recall the most foolish thing of all, the cross. To those who are sane in the world, this is utter folly, and it's a scandal. But to those who are called according to Christ's name, it is the power and the wisdom of God. And we're about to receive the power and wisdom that blooms from that tree of life. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.